Good morning. Welcome to each and every one of you. It's good to hear the children lead us this morning. Thank you to the children. Thank you to Ingrid for accompanying them this morning as well. We're going to take a few moments to look at our announcements. If anyone has an announcement that they would like to make, please come on forward at this time. Looking at the prayer and praise in our bulletin, Katharina Fair, mother of Bill and Mary, passed away on Tuesday, March 15th at Salem Home. Her funeral will take place tomorrow afternoon at 2. We want to wish the family, each one of you, God's comfort as you lay to rest a dear mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. I'll let you guys go ahead for now.
Just about a reminder about the congregational review that I talked to about last week. It is open to anyone, young or old. You don't need to be a member of the church. As long as you come to this church, attend this church, you're welcome to fill it out, and we would encourage you to do that. So there's copies available in the back, and if you want an electronic copy, then either get a hold of Haiti or myself or Marlon. Thank you.
We want to remember in prayer those leaving this week for Soar Heartland. We'll hear a little more about that a little later in the service. This is a time of year when university students are faced with a lot of pressure, a lot of deadlines. I know that's certainly true for three people in my family. And so let's remember those young people who are studying and working really hard in intense situations right now. We're thankful for good news for Robert Petker was transferred to Boundary Trails Hospital this week. We're thankful that Tenley is improving. We are thankful she was here this morning again. It's wonderful. Let's continue to pray for these people as well as for Skylar Hildebrandt, who continues to receive treatment and it's an ongoing journey, so let's be faithful in prayer for these people. Werner has an announcement.
From inception of our ministry, we have carried this mission out through you.
In the last 10 years, we've seen so much change in technology, and we're riding that wave.
We are looking just to see lives restored, lives transformed.
I'm really excited to be part of the Gideons because we can share God's word.
We're on our way to an amazing camp today to spread hope and love to the kids that are going to be there.
Yes, we do hand out Bibles.
Distributing God's word to people who are seeking the truth is unlike anything I've ever been a part of.
Around the world, people are longing for the hope and purpose that only the gospel can bring. But how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? The Gideons are responding to this challenge and bringing the word of God to them. Gospel on the Ground is a cross-Canada celebration of the work that God is doing in our world and through the Gideons International in Canada. Come hear stories of incredible change and the impact that are happening in Northern Canada, India, Nicaragua, Ukraine, China, and Malawi. Be a part of the amazing work God is doing and will continue to do through the power of His Word and those who share it. Join us in bringing the hope of the gospel to those in need it today.
One of our teams returned from China just the other day, and again they were able to preach the gospel in the churches in China. China, would you believe, is the fastest growing or the country which has the fastest growing Christian population in the world. However, there are many other places. Canada's Northland needs the scriptures. Our people are committing suicide at an alarming rate. In Cross Lake, it has a very high rate of suicide. Three of our Gideon men are going up on the ice roads to cross and will spend several days in Cross Lake with Gideon scriptures. India has 400 million people who have never heard the gospel. We're looking at getting the smartphone app, the New Life app for smartphones, into different languages. But we need to pray that we can get these translations without having to pay a huge cost for them. The Bible is going out, as you can see, and it's the gospel on the ground. And if you want to hear more, come to our banquet. Our banquet will be in Altona and the EMMC Church, April 12th, that's a Tuesday evening. I have tickets, and I'd like to just introduce to you our newest Gideon members. Gary and Carla Fair have joined the Gideons, and so they will also have tickets. We're very pleased to have them in our chapter, and so we're looking forward to that. So thank you for praying. Pray for the men who are going up to Cross Lake. It's not an easy journey. Thank you.
Can you think of a time when you've waited for someone? When you've longed for them? And then all of a sudden they're there. I was trying to think of a time like that. I remember a couple of years ago, our son Jordan was away for a year of study in England. And suddenly the time came for him to come home. His year of study was done. Our whole family went to the airport. It was late at night, and we waited. I'd been waiting a long time. I was excited about this. The plane was a little late, as they often are. And then it finally landed, and then there's that, like, what seems like an eternal time from when the plane lands till you actually get to see them, right? Waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden there's people coming out from that area. They're arriving. Oh, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? All of a sudden, there he was. He was coming down the stairs. Everybody else was coming down the escalator, but Joe being Joe, he's running down the stairs, and I could not help myself. I just ran. I just ran and wrapped my arms around him, and I was so excited. We were together. And then I looked down, and I was standing on the hug rug, and I thought, how aptly named this is. That first Palm Sunday, people were waiting for a king who would save them from their current situation. Today, we know that Jesus came to save them and all of us from our sins. He came and suffered and died and rose again for us. We remember. He came and he offered us the gift of his Spirit to help us. And through his Spirit, we encounter him moment by moment, day by day, now. We have ongoing relationship. And he has promised he will come again. He's coming back. And are we waiting with that same joy? We'll stand on that hug rug someday with him. And that's something to shout Hosanna about this morning. Will you bow with me in prayer? Jesus, we want to thank you. For all that you've done for us. We have hope. We have your Spirit living in us, working through us, speaking to us. We will one day be together with you forever in a place that is beyond our imagining wonderful. And we thank you. We thank you that even now as we wait, that we can encounter you, that you love us, that you walk with us, that you are with us always. May our time together this morning bless you. And may we leave here today a little more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Didn't the kids lead us well into worship? It was just awesome. So let's sing number 529, and we're going to go marching into Zion. Let's stand as we sing for our King.
Take the offering at this time.
Thank you. We have for a number of years been involved with Soar Heartland, most often with our connection with Bethlehem Aboriginal Fellowship. And since that has changed, we have been involved elsewhere with Soar Heartland as well. This year is no exception, and Jerry Giesbrich has been busy involved with some people from our congregation as well as leading an MCI team that will be leaving on Thursday for this. I'm going to invite Jerry. Would you come and say some things about what it is that you're doing and where you're planning, and what's happening with that?
Good morning. Can you hear me? For Soar Heartland this year, I'm leading one of MCI's teams. They have two teams that are going. One is going to the Indigenous Family Center in Winnipeg, and the other team, the one that I'm leading with Susie Dick, who's a residence dean at MCI, is going to Barbara Mitchell Family Resource Center, which is run by the Salvation Army. The population that attends there, the kids that are becoming, will be having about 40 kids at Barbara Mitchell, which is exciting. That'll be a lot of fun. And I think there's about 5 students from our congregation or connected to our youth group that will be going to Barbara Mitchell. 2 will be going to the Indigenous Family Center. And they're going to have about 15, I think, kids that'll show up there probably, depending. At Barbara Mitchell, the kids that will be coming are mostly from newcomer families from a local area. It's in St. Vitale, actually, in Winnipeg. And so the context is a little different than what we're used to. We're used to going to the North End and doing stuff there, and that's kind of what we've been doing for a while. So this is a little bit new. It's a new ministry, and it's not a new ministry there, but it's a new partnership for us to be going with them. And so that'll be a little bit different, too. From the coordinator that works there, I found that since they have quite a few kids that come that are Muslim, they don't necessarily want us to be presenting our VBS in a way that that puts pressure on kids to change faith or to convert in that way. And so it makes things a little bit interesting for how we're going to minister. And that's something that we really encourage your prayers about. We're going to be teaching Bible stories and going through stuff like that with our VBS, playing with the kids, showing them love like Jesus loves us, and answering questions if they have them about who Jesus is, why we believe what we believe. But I think just in our group time and the stories that we're sharing, we need to be a little bit careful about how we're presenting them, not in a way that is saying you need to become a Christian and stuff like that. Because I think the purpose is we don't want to come in and derail relationships that are being built in order to further the gospel and present the kingdom to these people. We don't want to come in and all of a sudden stop that conversation and that relationship. So we would invite your prayers for that, especially that dynamic that's a little different. And we'll be working with our ministry contact there as well, just to figure out how do we do this and what's acceptable and okay, but also how do we still be faithful to what we feel God is calling us to do and to say, and how he wants us to respond to that.
Thanks, Jerry. Would you stay here? And I'm going to invite the rest of those who are listed in our bulletin. Would you come and join Jerry here? Tyson Fair, Caleb Rimple, Morgan Fair, Lauren Fair, Nick Dreger, Joshua Dick, and Jesse Miller. Could you come and join us here? And I'm going to invite others of us to come and join. Let's spend some time in prayer for these people. Let's surround them with our prayers. Let's bless them on their way. I invite you to come. Let's do this together. Let's have a time of prayer together. I'm just going to pass this mic around. We'll start from this end and we'll work our way this way. And I invite you people to, whoever wants to start. Who would like to begin? Someone from this end.
Thank you, faithful God, that you are a God who sees, you are a God who knows our needs even before we ask for them. You are a God who changes hearts. So we pray for these youth as they enter a new kind of ministry, that you will give them wisdom, that you will give them words to speak and help them to be sensitive to the group they are ministering to. And we thank you that you will be at work in them and among them and around them, that you will be changing hearts.
Father God, thank you that you call us deeper into yourself all the time, and I thank you for these people that you have called deeper into you during their week at SOAR, and also the people that they're going to be ministering to. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak new things about who you are to this team that's going, and also to the people that they minister to. I thank you that's what you do, that you speak to people. I ask that you do that very, very clearly and show yourself and give them and everybody around them experience with you.
Father, I just thank you so much for the willingness of your servants to go into Winnipeg and serve you there. And Father, I just ask that you would give them such a joy and an excitement to minister to these kids. And Father, I just ask that you would reveal yourself to them. And yeah, God, I just pray that you would just stir in them and show them more of who you are.
Father, thank you that you are going before this team, preparing the way. I pray that you would fill them with more of your Spirit day by day as they prepare and as they serve, and that you would grant them a keen sensitivity to what you are saying, and a boldness and a joy in following you. Lord, bind them together in unity and give them strength and joy in that. Lord, as they open their mouths to share, would you fill their mouths with your words every moment? And thank you that you walk with them moment by moment through this journey.
God, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be their strength, energy, health, and protection.
Father, thank you that love is your agenda, and I pray that you would fill each team member, the leaders, with your spirit of love, and that they would find delight in loving up on the person that's in front of them, whether it's a team member, whether it's a leader, or whoever they meet on the streets or in their ministry setting, that they would just be content to love up on the person that's right in front of them and leave the heart changing up to you, because that's what you're good at. Just pray that you would favor this team and the leaders with health, with strength. It takes a lot of practical physical energy to do this, and we just pray that you provide generously in that area. Pray for good sleeping conditions. Pray for good weather. All the things that you're good at providing. And I pray, God, that you would meet in very real ways with each team member. I pray for an anointing on Jerry and other leaders, that you would provide insight and understanding and wisdom and health and strength. I pray for Cass and Judah back home, and for other family members back home, that you would enable them to carry out their tasks without their family members at home, and that you would give them prayers to pray while they're away.
Lord, would you give these people focus for your mission, a focus on what your heart is for these people, and I just pray that they would be able to cast any pride or selfishness aside for this time where you specifically called them to this.
Thank you, Father, for this team. Pray that you would give them health, give them strength. I pray that when you speak to them by your Holy Spirit, that they would be obedient, that they would be bold, that it's your program and not theirs, and that you've gone on before to the hearts that need changing, Lord, and I thank you for going before.
Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you've given this group of people to be witnesses for you in Winnipeg. I pray that your love and your light would shine through them.
Thank you, God, for the willingness of these people to go. I pray your blessing on them. Thank you for the prayers of your people. May they be upheld by them. May they find encouragement in them. And may you bless them on their way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm already looking forward to hearing exciting stories from this SOAR time that they're having. This is a time of grace that Jesus extends to us this Easter season, and our next song is about that. Number 541, Marvelous Grace. Number 541. This next song is called We Will Glorify, and we will stand. And I always imagine us bringing Jesus in to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday when I hear this song. So let's stand. We will glorify.
John 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand this at all. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now in the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look at how the whole world has gone after him."
Thank you, Shania. On Tuesday morning, Ray and I were on our way to Saskatchewan to look at a piece of machinery there, and we were going up the number 3 highway, and suddenly there was an ambulance that came by us, one with blinking lights and then another one where the lights weren't blinking. And then we come up to a processional where we had to stop, and we eventually ended up turning around and making a detour. And later on, we found out that there was a very serious accident there, and that the person who passed away was Darlene Peters, an aunt to Maury and Pam Peters. So let's just remember that family in our prayers. The funeral is today, so I just thought I'd mention that before I started. It's an encounter with God that is maybe not the kind of encounter that we would like to have or see, but it is still an encounter with God. And I entitled my message Palm Sunday, Encountering God, and I have to admit I stole the idea from Jake, so thank you for that idea, Jake. Last Sunday, Jake and Maury and Christina shared some of the ways they had encountered God in their lives. I found it moving the way each of them experienced him. The circumstances they found themselves in were different and unique, yet there was a common thread between all of them. God meets us where we are. He is there, ever present, when we need him.
We don't have to be in church to encounter him. We don't need to be on our knees to meet God. Just because we may be singing or worshiping doesn't necessarily mean that we will have an encounter with God. Yes, we may meet him when we are doing these things, but his presence can be felt in whatever circumstance or situation we find ourselves in. Christina shared some of her thoughts and feelings that she had before, during, and after her father Carl passed away. Maury shared the experiences they had as a family after Zoe was born. Jake talked about some of the time he spent in Bolivia and the people he met there. In each case, God showed himself to them either through different people that he put in their path or through the marvels of creation in the world that we live in. We as a family have experienced God during these last number of weeks when Robert underwent his surgery and as he has been recovering. We have been truly thankful and blessed because God answered so many of the prayers we had. Jamie and Cody experienced something very similar as they shared Tenley's journey with us on their blog. They would post a prayer request and it would be answered, usually within a very short period of time. We posted a prayer request for Robert and it didn't take very long and it too was answered. When we look back at all the requests we made, we saw that God had responded to all of them. Now, I can't explain why sometimes our prayers are answered the way we want them to be, and I don't fully understand why other times they may not be answered in the way we think they should. But I do know that God is watching over us, not just some of the time, but all of the time. He has a plan for us. He knows what's best for us. His way is perfect. It is much easier to say we will agree to his plan than to actually accept it. That can be difficult. David says in 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 to 33, "As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress, for he has made my way safe." A little earlier in the chapter, he says, "The waves of death surrounded me. The floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death itself stared me in the face. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I called to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears." After Robert's surgery was completed, the surgeon came in and told us that he only had a 50-50 chance of survival. We prayed for his survival and recovery, but we also prayed for God's will to be done. It was difficult to add that last part to our prayer. We are selfish people. We don't want to suffer or see our loved ones suffer. I'm not sure how we would have reacted if the outcome had been different. I'm sure there probably would have been sadness and heartache, sorrow, anguish, possibly bitterness, and many questions would have been asked by us. Thankfully, God is always there. He heard David when he called for help. He hears our cries of pain when we experience suffering. And he's also listening to our expressions of thanksgiving when we experience healing. Encountering God. We have just come through the Lenten season. Lent is a 40-day period prior to the Easter season where people often observe a period of fasting, repentance, moderation, self-denial, and or spiritual discipline. The purpose is to set aside of time a time of reflection for Jesus Christ, for his suffering and sacrifice,
his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. During these 6 weeks of self-examination and reflection, Christians who observe Lent typically make a commitment to fast or to give up something, a habit, like smoking or watching TV or swearing, or it could be a certain food or drink, dessert, chocolate, or coffee. I'd have a really difficult time giving up those first two. Some Christians also take on a Lenten discipline, such as reading the Bible and spending more time in prayer to draw nearer to God. The Bible does not specifically mention the custom of Lent. However, the practice of repentance and mourning in ashes is found in a number of different books, Samuel, Esther, Job, Daniel. And in Matthew 11, 20 and 21, it says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where he had done most of his miracles, because they hadn't turned from their sins and turned to God. What horrors await you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have sat in deep repentance long ago, clothed in sackcloth and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse." How do we react when our sins are revealed to us? When we see a miracle take place, does it make us sit up and take notice? Do we examine ourselves in light of the situation that we find ourselves in? Can we begin to repent and seek forgiveness for the sins that we have committed? Or is it just another event that took place which doesn't change our thoughts or actions at all? Why is the Lenten season so important prior to celebrating the Easter season? It's a time to reflect, to take a step back and examine the way we are living. A time to seriously recognize what it cost Jesus and the sacrifice he was willing to make in spite of that cost. By doing this, we are or should be trying to have an encounter with God. When we deny ourselves something or when we focus our attention on devoting more time to studying the Bible and praying, we are making a conscious effort to meet God. This desire can help determine what God wants us to do or where he wants us to be. It's relatively easy to become caught up in the routine of our daily lives and forget that God is right there, waiting and wanting to communicate with us. His desire is to help us. He would like to help us in our time of need, and he wants to be part of the rejoicing and celebration when things are going well with us. Things were going really well for Jesus on that Palm Sunday many years ago. Most of us have heard the Palm Sunday story many times. The story in a nutshell, Jesus was a hero for the day. Everybody loved him. He could do no wrong as he entered the city that day. But let's just step back a little and look at this event through the eyes of one of the many thousands of pilgrims who were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The talk among all the people was that they were going to encounter this special person that they had been hearing so much about, this Jesus who had done so many miraculous things. Jesus makes his entrance into the city in a specific, symbolic manner. He has chosen to ride a donkey that no one has ever ridden. The donkey in that culture was seen as a mount on which kings would normally ride. The fact that it hadn't been broken indicated that this was a very special occasion. We can be fairly safe to assume that Christ, who could calm the wind and waves and create the world with his word, could break a donkey just by speaking to it. Matthew in his gospel tells us that Jesus had a specific agenda in mind for this Palm Sunday event. This was a fulfillment of the prophet's words in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's what Jesus wanted to communicate to the people. His desire was that they would recognize him as
a peace-loving, gentle king who had now come. He came to Jerusalem as a pilgrim, and because he was well known to many who had witnessed his ministry, especially since he had just raised Lazarus from the dead, he is greeted with the words from Psalm 118. And Mark, in Mark 11, repeats these words. He says, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he was welcomed like a king. The people had been promised a Messiah, and they were filled with hope that just maybe the long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. This man would save them from the rulers of that day who were enslaving them. Let's fast forward to today. Picture yourself in that crowd of people. There would be reporters and TV cameras covering every move and detail of Jesus' entry into the city. Back in the studio, experts would be analyzing all movement and comments made by the crowd and Jesus. It might be somewhat comparable to the election activities that are happening in the U.S. today. I watched CNN a couple of times during their primaries. They can talk for hours about the debates that take place and the results of these primaries. They are constantly discussing and speculating about what will happen and who will win. I can only listen to that for so long. Back to Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. As a spectator that day, what would be your thoughts on the events that were taking place? Would you be able to comprehend the full extent of what was happening? Would you have realized that you were about to have an encounter with God? You had come to celebrate the Passover. It was something you and over 2 million other people did every year. The streets were crowded and teeming with people. Why should this year be any different? But this year would turn out to be very different. This Jesus who had been going around the countryside preaching, teaching, and healing was now making his appearance. The rumor mill was rampant. People were saying that he was indeed the long-awaited king, the Messiah. Would he? Could he really be that their long-awaited Savior? The majority of the crowd that day certainly seemed to think so. They lined the streets and filled his path into the city with their cloaks and branches cut from the trees. They were singing and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" As he entered the city on a donkey, I'm fairly certain that most people were wondering what kind of a king he would be. What would he do for his people? How would he rule? What would the people have to sacrifice for his kingship? Jesus turned out to be a compassionate king, but this compassion was not an endeavor to buy your favor. He was not going to give away everything, denying his own righteousness. He told you what you need instead of what you want. He tells you the wages of sin is death. He tells you that someday you will stand before God, your Maker, accountable for all that you have done in this life. He warns you of coming judgment. He warns of eternal hell, a total alienation and separation from himself. The king who enters Jerusalem on a donkey walks by foot to the hillside of Olivet. From that perspective, overlooking the city he loves and for which he wept, he refuses to give a campaign speech as any earthly leader would do. Instead, he tells it like it is. Predicting domestic breakdown, economic catastrophe, wars, rumors of war, earthquake, famine, and all of the horrible desolation which you and I bring upon each other. That's the kind of king he is. He tells you and me what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. He talks about more than positive thinking. He talks about more than picking yourself up by your own bootstraps. He tells you that you can't succeed ultimately in your own strength. He warns you to face up to it now and to come to Him while you can. Your King is coming. His approach demands your response. Either you are with Him or you are not. There is no neutral ground. Today we sing our hosannas, which literally means save now. Do we mean this? Are we serious? Have we come because it's the nice thing to do? Or are we here because we mean business? Bob has gone to church all of his life. He thinks of himself as being a very religious man. Bob is in his mid-60s. He has lived a full life. He hasn't let religion spoil his fun. In fact, although Bob is religious, he has no king. He has no Lord. Well, that's not quite true. He does. There's only one problem. Bob's king's name is Bob. He goes through the forms of religious practice. He wouldn't miss church on Palm Sunday. Right now, he's probably sitting through the last 5 minutes of some preacher's sermon somewhere. Bob's problem is that Bob has committed himself to himself instead of to Jesus Christ. Bob is his own Lord. He gets turned off by emotional preaching that talks about hell. He wants soothing talk about heaven. He hates preaching that quotes from the Bible. He wants comforting talk about psychology. He wants no mention of sin from the pulpit. According to him, that went out of style with the Middle Ages. My friend Bob gets turned off when he sees Jesus the Messiah, the humble King, coming his way. He doesn't want an encounter with Jesus, and he definitely doesn't want one on a personal level. His greatest fear is that it may mean taking himself out of first place. Then there's Hal. Hal was a cynic. He had every reason to not believe. His life was loaded with doubts. How in the world could God become a man? How could an intelligent person trust the Bible? Yes, there is a difference between Bob and Hal. Whereas Bob ran the other direction every time Jesus began to come his way, Hal stopped. Hal took a good look, a long look, into the eyes of the prophesied king. He let those eyes probe his religious pretension. He let that penetrating glance cut through the smoke screen of his doubt. He was willing to doubt his doubts. He was willing to go back to the drawing board and hear and read some of the great writers of the Christian faith. A scientist by profession, Hal was willing to examine the claims of Christ intellectually and to experiment with them in his own life. He took Jesus at his word, only to discover this one to be his Lord and Savior. Hal had a close, meaningful encounter with God. Is your name Bob, or is your name Hal? Your King is coming. He is riding toward you now. He is ready to look straight into your eyes. Are you ready for his glance? That glance demands a verdict. He wants to know whether or not he truly is your King, your sovereign Lord. Will you shift your glance away? Or will there be that nod of affirmation which comes from one who is loyal in allegiance to the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, your King and your Lord? That's what encountering God is all about. Amen.
Thank you. I think that this next song determines what you just said, or says, let's stand and sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Thank you.
Could we bow for the benediction? This is a vision of the way it can be, the way it should be. Shouts of welcome, a joyful procession, a community celebrating together. The same vision is offered to us today. We can welcome Christ into our lives. We can celebrate his transforming power. How swiftly things changed back then. How swiftly we too can be distracted. May we hold fast to his vision of goodness, peace from the practice of justice, equality from the practice of respect. As this week unfolds, we will let ourselves be overtaken by God's love. We will pour it back out into this world. Amen.